This is the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
It is time for our weekly dose of the Groz with Dave Grosby. David, how are you today?
Good, John. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well, and you have an announcement.
Yeah, this is the last time, John. This is the last time Sports Saturday. We've been on the air together for
3 decades.
Years, I think.
30
I think
years.
Just like 3 weeks shy of 30 years. I think it was just January of 91. So it's been a long time, and I'm on the second annual Groz 710 ESPN Farewell Tour in hashtags This Time They Mean It. And it begins with a visit with you.
And I appreciate you making the announcement on this show and waiting to make the announcement on this show. So what's going to happen with Groz in the future?
Hopefully, John, I can keep myself alive as various and sundry slings and arrows are firing my way. But that's my immediate goal right now. And then we'll see. I mean, I still feel like I probably got a little bit of unfinished business with someone whose name we probably all know, and may do some stuff like that. But on the other hand, too, you know, I've been at it for a long time. I've had a 49-year career all told. With the health stuff that I'm dealing with, it would be almost impossible for me to ever think about doing a regular show again. So I may still be around, but I think my days of doing a regularly scheduled show are over. And they've actually, you know, been over for a couple of years. I've just been filling in for the past couple of years as ESPN and Bonneville was just wonderful to me to give me a chance to kind of say a long goodbye, as a lack of a better way of putting it. And let me have some dignity after some very difficult circumstances I went through, and I really appreciated that, and I appreciated them. So this is a good time. It's going to be good times for the next couple of weeks, and then we will see what happens afterwards. But Bonneville has been a great place to work, and I am really, really appreciative of having had the chance to do that and having a chance to sing their praises a little bit.
Well, and this, of course, is our last show together, and you still have a week, a couple more weeks where you're going to be on the air a little bit?
Yeah, I'll do Tuesday, Jake and Stacy, and then one more Tuesday with Jake and Stacy.
Okay.
And then that'll be it.
Yeah.
And then I'm gonna. They actually asked me if I'd be willing to, might as well pull everyone from behind the curtain, to write something, and I'm going to write something. I'm actually giving a lot of thought to it because, you know, it's different nowadays when your career would end in broadcasting or even in the newspapers, like, as you know. Back in our day, you know, when it would end, it was over.
Yeah.
You were done. There were no more outlets. But in this day and age now, there are other outlets, and so there's still Twitter to communicate on, and there's podcasting, and there's all kinds of things like that. But at the same time, this is also, for me, the passage of something that I started doing because of my father. You know, my father took me to visit his radio station in Akron, Ohio when I was 11 years old, and I'll never forget the feeling I had in looking at the guys in these rooms with the big white cork board barking out in perfect diction, you know, who the top hits were, and it was just, this is what I want to do. And my dad was my hero, and I wanted to go into his business, but try not to do it the way he did it. And he was a sales guy, and I did it on air, and so I was able to do what I wanted to do in my life for the reasons that I wanted to do it, and it stayed fun till just about the end. Although a few things happened to change things at the end a little bit.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, and you know how sad I am to not be with you because, again, we have been together 30 years, a little less than 30 years, but pretty close to 30 years. And we've had so much, you know, great time together that, you know, I am so much going to miss you.
Well, John, I'll tell you what, you know, and you're very much a revolutionary, as I think I and we were here in Seattle when we started at KJR, that was the third or fourth radio station in the country to contemplate doing an all-sports format. And, you know, it had been going on with some success for a little period of time in New York. I think there was another one going on in Philadelphia. Minnesota was just going to start up. And then Barry Ackerley wanted to start Seattle up. And it seemed like an unlikely place for it. And I remember, you know, having my doubts as to whether or not I thought it would work. I actually had heard about Cairo when I came up here from Southern California and figured that was the place that I would land. But, you know, lo and behold, you know, that we started sports radio in this town. We really were at the very beginning of it. And you, at the same way, blazed your own trail. You blazed the trail onto ESPN. that showed that I think you're incredibly influential in that sense, that you showed that if you want to be on the beat and you want to be covering a team, it's got to be 24/7.
Yeah.
It's got to be 24/7. The 24-hour news cycle was made for a guy like John Clayton, because John Clayton is always willing to outwork everyone. And so you were a very revolutionary person to be involved with as well. And I think it was kind of with that under the underlying, we kind of knew we were onto something different. And it made us, I think, instant friends.
Mm-hmm.
I know from my standpoint, I had an instant respect for you. You know, that was just immediate, and to the point where I knew that I could tease you about stuff and you wouldn't get upset. And
yeah.
And people would look and say, you can't say that, John, I'll go nuts. It's like, it's okay. It's okay. So. You know, it was really a huge part of the fun here was doing the things in various and sundry ways with you, and watching you put together a Hall of Fame career, and seeing it start from the beginning, and seeing it happen just like it does for Michael Jordan, just like it does for Tiger Woods, because of hard work. Sure, yeah, you got some regular skills, but you outworked everyone, and that's what the great ones do. The great ones work harder. It's got nothing more to do than that, and John Clayton is the poster boy for working harder.
What was the biggest thing, as you look at it for the 30 years, in you being able to, you know, basically shape sports radio here in Seattle?
I think, you know, I've been lucky enough when I think about it that, you know, I think of most of the guys on air right now in this town.
Yeah.
Half of them have been producers of mine at one point in time, or produced a show of mine. I mean, of course, Gas was my producer for 6 months. Bob Stelton produced some of my shows for a while. Softy was a producer of my shows for a while. I think I'm most proud of the fact also that really I've had a chance to literally work with everyone that's been in sports radio in Seattle since it started, with one or two exceptions. I mean, you know, I've been worked with Chuck over there at ESPN, but just about everyone else, and just about everyone over here as well. So, you know, having a chance to be a part of the first station, to really kind of one of the first stations to go about doing it, and then having a chance to be part of a second station that doing it from the beginning was just terrific. And I found them two uniquely different experiences. You know, the Bonneville experience was much more an ESPN experience, and it's important to separate those two. You know, ESPN is the programming, Bonneville is the ownership. And, you know, the ESPN style, the ESPN approach was something that I didn't agree with, something that did not come normally to me, did not come easily to me. But I said to myself, you know, I mean, this is a chance to learn something. And how often do you get a chance to do that when you get older? And then, you know, a big thing for me with 710 was they allowed me to do the Seattle U broadcast. And this brought me back full circle with my father, who I started off doing basketball games for him when I was in high school. And we did Iona College games, and Jim Valvano was the head coach. And he wound up being like my surrogate father there on the road for about 3 years. And my father absolutely loved working with the Jesuits, loved working with the university, just was thrilled that I liked it. And I had a chance to do NCAA tournament basketball games when I was in my teens. And then to come back over to 710 and have that exact same opportunity with a Jesuit school, going Division I and bringing in Cameron Dollar and Bill Hogan, who I worked with, was just, you know, for 9 years, that was just a thrill. It was really something special to have the chance to kind of go back and touch that thing with my father, who unfortunately passed away back in 2006, and didn't have a chance to see it. But you know, I did follow in his footsteps, and was proud to be his son.
What are some of your favorite memories through the 30 years here in Seattle radio?
Boy, I don't know, John. I think I could think. how about in 95, after the Game 5 game against the Yankees, being on the air for 2 hours. This is on Cairo.
Yeah.
And saying, isn't anyone going to buy the Graz a drink? When I was doing a 2-hour post-game show, and a guy coming by with a tray of about 30 drinks on it.
Wow.
And I went, look at what you guys did. And I turned over and knocked it all over.
Oh, jeez.
A crash unlike anything you've ever heard. But the fun thing was being on the radio for 5 hours after that game into the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
The players came over, you know, other guys came over. I mean, that was just unreal. Going to Chicago in 96 with the Sonics playing the Bulls, and Jordan's year back, and having won those two games here, and maybe having something special be able to happen back there was just terrific as well. I mean, heck, the first year, full year I was here, was the ultimate Husky team, the Don James team, and taking a plane full of people down to see the Rose Bowl game, and then finding out what's really fun when you're talking about going down to Rose Bowls, taking the Cougars down for their first Rose Bowl in 40 years, and going down with them in 97 and hanging out with Mike Price and all those things. The most fun has been stuff like that. And I emphasize this point as well. I loved more than anything dealing with and getting to meet with people. So I loved being at the J&M for about 9 years before Seahawk games, where I'd swear and scream at people and get people psyched up for the games. I loved doing that. I loved going to the Quinault, which we did years and years worth of things there, and just talking up people and never got tired of it. I never got tired of it. It was always one of the best things about the job in my book, was that people seem to know you and they seem to like you. I mean, who could want a better deal out of a job?
And, of course, one of the great parts about Graz is the fact that you were so involved through the years with charities. Talk about some of those charities and what you've been able to do, because obviously you were involved in a lot.
Yeah, and a big shout-out to my pal Gas for starting this out with the Graz with Gasathon, which was a 16-year labor of love. And you know, it was great. I got to be very good friends with Bill North, who is a great baseball player, of course, from here, and was very involved in the Central Area. And so I raised money for Central Area Youth Association, the CAYA, and that was near and dear. And it was the idea that you could play golf, that you could do an auction for someone, and you actually were helping out and raising money, and people would want you to do it, was just something that I couldn't believe. I mean, I wasn't very smart about it, because people started to make good money for doing auctions, and I never charged for doing an auction, because I just felt like I was getting the opportunity to do it. So, that was the thing about the job that I thought made you feel great, is that you actually were in a position to do stuff like that. And look, it's not like doing really heavy lifting or anything like that. It's by having a party. It's by hosting a golf tournament. It's me and Gas had our own golf tournament for a few years where we did that. So that was as much fun a part of the job as anything.
Oh, no doubt about it. And of course, you were so involved in so many different things and all that stuff. And of course, I mean, such a great career. And of course, I mean, what did cause you to move to Seattle?
Funny that you mentioned that, John, because I was down in L.A. and I was doing mornings and was fairly miserable at it. Was doing news and wasn't doing particularly good at it, and was looking to get out. And my wife, who I had recently married, my father got her a job with a national rep firm, and she knew that we were unhappy down there, and she says, I'm repping a station in Seattle who's talking about going all sports. And I'm like, well, all sports doesn't make any sense. And she's like, well, I'm meeting with the national sales manager, and maybe we can meet with her, and maybe we can see if there's something going on there. And I was, very patronizing, tut, tut, tut. I'm like, look, honey, here's something that you don't understand about broadcasting, just full of myself, mm-hmm. that, sales people can get other salespeople jobs, but salespeople really can't get on-air people jobs. It just doesn't work out that way. So it's nice that you're thinking that it could, but it's just not going to work out that way. So we met her anyway and had a very nice time. And, of course, this was Allison Hesse, who I know you know and mm-hmm. remember from the days of KJR. And she was absolutely in a position to say, hey, look, we're going full sports up here in Seattle. And we were going to, originally Bob Blackburn was going to host the show. And John McLeod, the old Notre Dame coach, was doing color. I think actually that's when he took the Notre Dame job. And for some reason, they didn't think that Kevin Calabro could do the games by himself. So they had Bob Blackburn go back on those broadcasts, and it meant they needed a fill-in, at least, show host. And Allison said, well, I know someone in L.A. who might work. And I didn't actually have a tape of me doing a sports talk show. There really weren't many done that back then. So we were carrying the Raiders. That was the Jay Schrader, Bo Jackson Raiders. And I asked if they could put me on a pregame show so I could get a tape together to apply to this job in Seattle. And so they did. I did a pregame show with Jim Plunkett for, I don't remember what the game was for. That was the piece of tape that I gave him that got me hired up here. So I never, thought about leaving a few times, but never did.
I still remember one of our first experiences together is 91 when we tried to do a reenactment of the Miami-Washington game, and we had all kind of fun with that, just, really making it up as we went along.
Well, this is when I knew that you were something a little bit unusual, because yeah. I said, look, why don't we try this, John? I got this idea to do a computer mock-up of Washington and Miami. They're both undefeated, and Billy Joe said, let's dog the Rose Bowl, but we can't do that, so let's do a computer game and see who wins. And I remember you saying, that's a great idea. Do you know how to do that? And I said, I have no idea. I said, but I can write up a little script and we can pretend to do it and just say that that's what it is.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't think you'd do it. Your eyes just twinkled, man. You says, yeah, that's great. So I wrote up a little script for us to work off of. We did an imaginary play-by-play of Washington versus Miami. I think we had a punt return for a touchdown by Mariel Bailey to win the game. And it actually, Dan Patrick on ESPN that night flashed it up with a score, and I remember thinking, I can't believe we fooled ESPN on something like that back in the days when stuff like that could happen. And it was with that spirit of mischievousness and that spirit of fun, it was how we kind of started off sports radio here. And it's what, you know, I've had a lot of people who tell me that, or on the air up here now, that they listen to me growing up, and it's always great to hear that. And they almost always use the word, it was a lot of fun too. And that's great to hear also, because we did make it fun up here. We didn't make it necessarily ripping guys left and right, but gave it a little bit of wit and gave it a little bit of fun and gave it a little bit of inclusiveness for everyone. And it was fun then. It's fun to this very moment right now.
Talk a little bit about Mike Gastineau and what he's meant as a friend.
You know, it's funny. Me and Mike, I'd be willing to say that we got closer since we stopped working together, since 91. We've just become better friends. I mean, I think we both consider ourselves brothers. He was a brother that I felt that from, I don't know, 5 minutes after I met him, for that matter. We talked about doing a show, even though he was producing me at the time. We talked about doing a show almost immediately. We still ran through a couple of hiccups while we did it, but we did do it, and it went great. And then, you know, had the two-year run, the two-hour show run that just was perfectly timed out for us. I think we had respect for each other and had really liked each other and really thought each other was funny. And I mean, that was just, it sounds like simple things, but that was the basis of it right there. And when Mike walked away from his job, I think some other people kind of walked away from him, and we had a chance to really get close again. And then when I went through my stuff a couple years back, he was standing right there. So I would say that our friendship right now is as good as it has ever been. And it's like I said, it's like having an extra brother.
Yeah, no doubt about it. How do you kind of look right now where Seattle radio is in comparison to other cities?
Well, I think it's healthy finally that you have two stations. I mean, it was, for a long time it was just one, and you know, that was because we were pretty darn good and it was tough to attack us. But, you know, it's two different approaches is what you have in this town. I can speak to that without giving away any proprietary secrets or anything like that. The ESPN approach that is being practiced over at 710 is a different approach than what's happening at 950. So you don't have two mirror opposites of each other. You've got two different distinctive voices that are doing sports radio in those ways. And look, it's funny. It's I'm not sure how long it lasts in its current thing, John. I think, you know, the idea of what sports radio is going to last. The delivery system is not. It's gonna change. It's already basically going to streaming now, like everything else is. And what that will mean remains to be seen. But you know what? In this town, 710 ESPN, KJR, those will be names that will affiliate people with sports. Those will be good. Those will be monikers that you want to have, because they signify, you know, sports programming to people. And that's kind of what the legacy is for that. I marvel at you, John, but others who do it too, because this job, when I started, you know, what I would do is I'd drive in from work, and I hope I'm not going too late on you here. I'd drive in from work and I'd drive down to Pike Place Market and go to Bulldog News. Mm-hmm. And I'd grab three or four out of town newspapers. And I knew right then I had a leg up on everyone else that I was talking with or talking to in the audience, because there was no internet. There was no way to find out what else was going on in other places unless you did that. So mm-hmm. there was no instant information, and you did your show and that was it. And anything that happened after that, you teased the show for. I remember reading emails on the air when that was, you know, something that had never been done before and was a new thing, for crying out loud. Now Now it's 24/7. Now the guys, I think they're amazing. They do their 4-hour shifts and they go right back on social media and pulling an all-nighter every night. So it's the job is really, really difficult, much more difficult nowadays than it used to be.
No doubt. Well, Groz, I can't tell you how much I'm going to miss you. I mean, you taught me radio and you made me, you know, in many ways what I'm so lucky to be. And I will never forget that. And I will never forget our friendship and our times together.
Love you, John.
Love you. Hey, and best of luck. Take care of your health and have a good Christmas. And, you know, good luck after this.
Thanks, buddy.
Okay. That's Dave Grosby. Going to miss him. You know, this is our last show together. He's got two coming up with Jake and Stacy in the next two Tuesdays. And then he'll be writing for the website, all those different things. So, again, that's Dave Grosby. And, of course, just going to miss him so much. He's meant so much to me, my wife, everybody else. And so, you know, we'll come back, 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN, John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.